There's one verse that sums up 2011, excuse me, for me, is found in 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 9, and I'm going to read this from the Message translation. So I was just praying about this service, and this verse just was really jumped out to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. This is the Message translation. It says this: a huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here. There is also mushrooming opposition. And I have really seen this in 2011. Just huge opportunity. Some of it we have seized, but just huge opportunity to reach out to people, to give the gospel, to give life. I mean, we've had so many testimonies this year of the people of Good News Church. I mean, in astonishing ways, giving life and people stepping out into new areas. But there's this part, last part of the verse that we don't like. There's also mushrooming opposition. And I've seen a lot of opposition this year. And I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Does anybody here feel like they've been through some trials this year? Some significant trials. And, you know, I have had some situations in my life. I mean, I can't think of a time like this year, unless I go back to when I first got saved, of time where I've had to spend extra time in the Word, extra time in prayer. I mean, many, many nights I've gotten up and prayed and gone to the Word, just restless and just dealing with situations. And I can't think of another year like this. It's been a long time for me. But so I stand here and say there's been a lot of good things, a lot of highs, but there have been some lows. And according to this verse, the opposition comes because of the opportunity. The opposition comes because the enemy sees where you're going and the potential damage that you have to his kingdom. So what's the purpose of the opposition of the adversaries? To get you to retreat, get you to give up, or the third thing, which to me is the same as the others, is to maintain the status quo, just to get by. When the enemy has got you in the place where you're just getting by, you're in a dangerous place. Because you're just coasting, you're riding on fumes. You're riding on things that have happened in the past. And that's not a good place to be. So that's what it's about. And I'm not a person that runs from a good fight. But I've been tempted this year to run from things and to hide my head in the sand. Again, more so than I have in the past. Does anybody relate to what I'm saying so far today? So there's some important verses to keep in mind as we end one year. And I give God praise for what has occurred in 2011. So many amazing testimonies. And sometimes if you have an area that you're struggling in, I mentioned this on the Christmas Eve service. We need to count our blessings. We are so blessed. And in fact, let's just give him some praise right now. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for the miracles and the many, many awesome, astonishing things that have happened in 2011. Hallelujah. Count your blessings. But there's some verses that I love that I've always have in my thinking. You have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I guess we need to be reminded of some things. As we end one year and begin another, just be reminded of some basic, fundamental things we all know. But Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I just want to remind you that you need God in this upcoming year. He's your answer. He's your answer. He's your source of supply. He's your best friend. He's the one you want to be looking to. And frankly, for me, there was just some areas where I got beyond my understanding. Where I was just trying to do things the same old way that I had been doing them in years past. And that old way wasn't working anymore. And I needed some new understanding. I needed some fresh revelation. I needed wisdom from God. And wisdom from God is God's ways of doing things. And when you're trying to do something in yourself, or you're going to say to other people and to God, I'm going to handle it. I mean, you're in for some rough times. And if we look at areas maybe that we struggled in this past year, it's areas where we tried to handle it. We're going to say, I'm going to do it. Now, we still have to walk it out, but there's a difference when you're walking it out in grace or in your own strength. It says, not by your might, nor by your power, by your flesh, but it's by the Spirit of God. And so if there's some things that we've been trying to handle on our own, it's time to say, hey, I'm going to look to God. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to acknowledge that God is smarter and wiser and knows what to do in this area, and I'm going to look to Him. And expect some direction. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Because He's got an answer. I don't care if it's a situation you've been dealing with for 15 years. He's got wisdom. You know, Psalm 23, there's no valley. And it may, you know, the shadow of the death. It's not death, it's the shadow of death. We ain't camping there. If you've been camping there, we're going through it. On the bigger and better things for this year. The next verse is found in, if you're in Proverbs, just turn to flip to Proverbs 11. And this is a huge area for all of us, especially for those that want to handle it on their own. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I've seen one thing in this congregation and seen in the body of Christ. I see a lot of people getting isolated. I see a lot of people pulling away from community. And I understand why. That happens. I'm not criticizing anybody, not condemning anybody. I certainly understand. Hey, there's some Sundays I don't want to show up at church. Now I'm the pastor. Because there's so much going on and I just can't bear to see anybody, you know. But, you know, we say this around here and it's really true. It's the days that you least feel like going to church. Those are the days you need to go. Because we need each other. And there's something about just seeing each other. I met with another brother this week. And, you know, Team Lean's coming. So I'm getting ready for Team Lean by bulking up my calories. Cutting down on exercise and bulking up on calories. So we met at the Waffle House. That's the man's Starbucks is Waffle House. And so I met there and I met with this guy and we, you know, talked and we shared and he opened up and I opened up. And you know, I walked away and we had advice for each other and just words of wisdom. And I walked away so encouraged. And we need that. We need each other. We need people we can share with, people we can open up with. And again, I'm not big on going and sharing my problem with everybody. I don't think that's a good idea. That'll be used against you later. But we need people in our lives that we can open up and share with. And then there even comes to a place in our lives where we may even need to pay somebody to talk to them. If you've come up against a wall and you've done everything you know to do and you're still dealing with these issues, there's people that are trained and skilled that you may need to, you know, sacrifice some funds. I remember back, I was in high school, and I have not, I am for the military and for anybody going into the military, and, you know, I appreciate all those that serve in the military, but I was 18, about to graduate from high school. I went to a military high school. And I was contemplating going into the Army. And I had gone through all the different things. And I was kind of looking for a way to pay for school, college, and some things I wanted to be trained in. And my mom didn't feel good about it. And so she set up this appointment with this counselor that she knew just to meet at a place for breakfast with this guy. She paid him. And I met with him. And we talked. And he had been in the Navy. And he just told me what it was like. And he enjoyed it. He liked it. But he just told me what it was like and what I was to face and what I was to expect. And I tell you, after that meeting, I went home. I called my Army recruiter. I'm not joining. And for me, that was the right decision, even though I wasn't saved. I'm not saying that's not for others, but for me, that wasn't the right thing for me. And I'm glad that I had someone that I could talk to about it and sort it out. And sometimes we need that. And sometimes we need that in our marriage. And sometimes we need that in our personal life. That if you come up and you just need help, someone that... And I'll tell you this. When you pay them, you put a lot more value on that session. You may meet with me and say, "Oh, that's just Pastor Matt." Or your parents or someone will say, you know, "Oh, they're just trying to give me advice." But when you pay somebody money, you're going to listen. So I just encourage you this year, and maybe for whatever reason, it doesn't matter now why you've gotten isolated, if you've gotten hurt or you've gotten offended or just the cares of life. I mean, you can read in Mark 4 the reasons why. I mean, and the enemy's mean. And he knows if he can get you isolated, just like a lion chasing a pack of animals. He wants to isolate somebody, get them alone, because he's more of a threat. And so I just encourage you, we need each other. We need our community. We need our friends. And if we backed off on things just to make a decision, I'm not going to do that in this upcoming year. And then the next verse, Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, I read this on the Christmas Eve service. And it's certainly something that I've seen in 2011. Hebrews 6, verse 12, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. "In order that you may grow disinterested, that you may not grow disinterested, and become spiritual sluggards." I think I've seen that. And I don't know if it's weariness. I've seen this in people. I've seen this in leaders here at the church. I've seen it in people here and outside of this Good News Church. Some people have not only drawn back from people, but they've drawn back from God. And they've gotten lazy in their faith. I was even, and Maddie Sue wouldn't mind me telling this. My daughter Maddie Sue is home, and she's been away at school, you know. Or she's not, I mean, she's married now. So she's away for good. I'm like, yeah, you're just going to be coming home. No, she's away for good. That just hit me. That's my first revelation of 2012. But we were kind of talking about the new year. We were, you know, having lunch together and just talking about some things we were expecting for this new year. And she just said, you know, I just haven't been praying like I used to. Or, you know, just some things in her life. And she's just gotten busy with things. And she said, you know what, I'm going to make some changes there. And it can happen to all of us. Just kind of get sloppy in our faith. And so just go ahead today and make a decision. Say, hey, that's not me. And again, I totally understand. I mean, sometimes when you're going through something, it's like the last thing you want to do is pray. The last thing you'd want to do is open up your Bible. The last thing you want to do to come to church. But see, you know, that's the very thing you need to do. And because these are the places that you meet God and fellowship with God. I mean, you can fellowship with God all the time, of course, all throughout the day. But there's times we got to pull ourselves away. And take some time to meditate and to think and to open yourself up to God. And it's so amazing when you do that, He comes flooding in. He doesn't condemn you and beat you up. He loves on you. He encourages you. He strengthens you. But be imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of their entire personality on God and Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patience. Everybody say patience.
Patience.
By practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises. I tell you, I have grown in patience in 2011. And it's not been fun. It's not something that I said, beginning of 2011, I said, I'm going to grow in patience this year. Patient endurance. But I got good news. Some of the things that I thought should have come earlier, and I was believing God for, they started coming in before December 31st. So had I given up, they wouldn't have come. And I just want to encourage you, things that you were believing God for, asking God for, that you didn't see, they're on the way, they're coming, don't give up. And so just walk in joy. Just be expectant. Be optimistic. He has not given up on you. And He's got plans for you to bless you, not to harm you, plans to prosper you, plans to increase you. That's just who He is. That's just His nature. Now we may, you know, in our thinking may get off and begin to think differently. But I tell you, that's who, you know, in this season, we talk about the season of love. That's our Father, our Heavenly Father. So it's New Year's Day. What do? Well, Apostle Paul has some advice for us. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is some good advice from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Great verse for New Year's Day. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection. Anybody here reached perfection yet? But I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. And so I encourage you today to focus on this one thing. Now, when we read it, it looks like two things, but there is really just one thing. Forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. I'm just going to walk into each section and say that. Forgetting the past. Let's not spend our year dwelling on 2011, dwelling on the past, or dwelling on years ago. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You had a tough year in 2011. I'm not making light of anything, but I got some words from the Lord. Get over it. Go ahead, just get over it right now. And, you know, when I was playing golf, I had to do this a lot. I hate this to say it. But I had this little thing when I was playing golf, and I would draw the line on the scoreboard, you know. So in my, you know, Frankie played golf before? Yes. Yeah, the scorecard. Well, if I'm having a bad round, which seemed to happen a lot, somehow I would do this and it would help me. I would just take that pencil and just... like at the ninth hole, the 12th hole, just a really big line there. And I said, that's it. I'm drawing the line on this green. And from here on in, I'm going to play golf like I should be playing. And somehow that would inspire me to greatness. So everybody, take your hand and just go ahead and scratch on it. Because we're stepping over into greatness. We're stepping over into the promised land. We're stepping over into God's blessings. And that junk, old stuff's behind us. And I'm not looking back. And I'm not even preaching the message today that I've got for 2012. That may be next week. Because you can't handle it. I got to prime you and get you ready because you can't handle the truth. Watching too many movies. Okay. All right, I got another good verse for you. Some more advice from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. I'm reading from the Message translation, so you may just want to look on the screen up here. This is for somebody here. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah. Is there anybody here united with Christ today? Is there anybody here that's in Christ? Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Who's ready for a fresh start? So we did the line, the scorecard. That's done. I mean, can you tell? I'm a different person already. I mean, we could just reinvent ourselves starting today. We could just go ahead and reinvent ourselves physically. It's called Team Lean. Natalie's been talking about doing a financial peace class, Financial Peace University. It's a great time to make some changes. Finances, our health. Exercise, a great time spiritually. Does anybody remember this word called prayer? Yeah. And let's go ahead and dust the Bibles off. When's the last time you opened the Bible and read it? We're not alone. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. How about we let some of these bad habits we picked up along the year, how about we just go ahead and let those go? Let's reach for some new ones. Hey, who wants to read a new book? The one you bought last January that you haven't read yet. Hey, I got some new things coming. Susie and my family, Harry and Grayson, may not know it yet, but we signed up for the cleaning team this year. Woo! I'm so excited to be on the cleaning team. I've always wanted to be on the cleaning team, but they wouldn't let me.
Now they're desperate.
Now they're desperate. You don't want me cleaning your house. I'm kind of a destructive person. We were playing basketball in our foyer for Christmas. I got the boys this little mini basketball thing, so I had it up in the front door in our nice foyer. Well, we had a pretty intense game on Christmas Day. I think it was me, but I broke through the sheetrock. Susie said, "I told you so. You're a grown man in there playing in the foyer, playing basketball." I said, "Well, why didn't you say something?" I said, "Well, you're a grown man. I'm going to be a grown man in 2012. Finally, act like it." But man, I had some great dunks. You should have seen me. And it was so great covering Harry and Grayson because I can just put my hand over the basket. I love it. I was talking to Grayson and I said, "Grayson, you know, pretty soon you're going to get, you know, taller and bigger than me and you're going to be able to beat me up." Not that I beat them up all the time, but... And he said, and I love this because this is good. He said, "You know, Dad, I don't think I'm going to ever get big enough to be able to beat you up. I mean, not until you're about 70. I have got my kids trained well." All right, getting back. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. All right, getting off track. I'm going to get focused in 2012. Let's make it a special year. You can change. The Bible's all about transformation. The Bible's all about change. You can be different. You don't have to be in the status quo of this mess that we're in. You don't have to live that way anymore. Go ahead and read Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says that Christ infuses us. He empowers us to do great things, to do all things. I was reading the biography of President Bush, and he starts off the biography in a really interesting way, and he talks about the day that he decided to let go of alcohol. And he had been a pretty heavy drinker all his life, and he was 40 years old, and really his life was going nowhere. And he was talking to his wife and about him going out that particular night for his birthday, and he went out and basically got hammered. And next day he had a hangover. And he was kind of just thinking about things. And he realized he had been out every single day of the week. Or was at home and had something. And he just realized, "What am I doing?" And he said, it was pretty awesome. He made a decision that day. He said, "I am never going to touch another drop of alcohol." And he didn't. The power, the will that we've been given by God to make decisions. And if we want, and that was a big turning point in his life. That was our president at 40. I don't know how old he was, but it wasn't that many years later he became president. Just shows you the power of change and making decisions. You can make a decision today that will affect this whole year for the better. Another thing that we're doing, Susie and I and our family, we're having a Chinese exchange student stay with us for 5 weeks starting next Saturday. In our house. So we've been having to clean up and get organized. And it's going to be fun. I think it will be fun. I'm praying about it. So I just want to encourage you today. I just want to tell you from the scripture, as your pastor, someone that cares about you, I believe today is a fresh start.
Yes, it is.
I believe today is something new. And today is a great day to change. And if you make a decision to change, the power of God will come. The grace of God will come. He'll help you. And then we need each other. We need each other. Maybe you could partner up with somebody. I mean, Team Lean was so much more better when you've got a partner that you're working out with or... So, 2012, the slate's clean. What's going to happen? Get out the legal pad. Begin to dream again. Begin to write down some things. Let God get in there. Well, I think you're ready for next week's message. Praise God. Before we pray, and I just want to make sure, and looking around, I know most everybody here, but I just want to make sure that I want to give you a chance for a fresh start in your relationship with God. There may be somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And, you know, here at Good News Church, we just can't let you leave in that condition. Romans chapter 10 says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you'll confess Him as Lord, you'll be saved. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that we can actually know, and it's not something we can earn by good works or cleaning ourselves up and trying to earn this, but we can actually, by faith, receive salvation. And for those that have studied it out, I mean, you know that salvation. It means when you die, you go to heaven. It means you enter into God's family. You enter into an inheritance. And the Bible says you enter into the abundant life, John 10:10, here on the earth. Not free from trials, but knowing that He's there to help put you over. And so I can't think of a fresher start that you can have than coming to God and making Jesus your Lord. So every head bowed, please, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, yeah, yes, Pastor, I want a fresh start spiritually. I want a fresh start with God. Pray with me to know Jesus as my Lord. Pray that with me so I'll have that assurance of that heaven is my home, not being afraid of death or afraid of judgment from God. Pray with me that I'll enter into this blessing, this family that you're talking about. If that's you here today and you say, yes, Pastor, I want to, I want to pray with you, go ahead and signify that you want to do that by lifting your hand. Praise God. Anybody? Just be bold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can look up here. Let's stand, everybody. Your son. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment. Let's just give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. And go ahead and just visualize. The past is behind us. And we just look expectantly to the future. And Lord, we just open our hearts to You and that You'll speak to us. Show us things to come. Lord, we go ahead and receive wisdom right now for our future. We know the Spirit of God shows us things to come. And Lord, if we have some unforgiveness in our hearts, we just make a decision right now to forgive. Forgive and forget. If we have offense, we just make a decision to let it go. And we make a decision right now to reinvent ourselves, to be brand new people in 2012. Pray for everybody here, Father. Any bad habits, let just fall away. Each person here fulfill the plan of God for their lives. That they know who they are and what they have and what they can do. Father, they're strengthened in the inner man. They have a walk fully pleasing to you. They know the riches of your inheritance. Thank you, Father. You watch over them, protect them, guard them. They have any illness or disease in their bodies, I just command it in the name of Jesus. You leave right now in Jesus' name. Any oppression in people's minds, I just command that to go right now in Jesus' name. Strife in homes, we just cast that out right now and call in peace and harmony and joy right now. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As I was reflecting back on 2011 and what was going on and what, you know, what I had learned, I realized the two most important things that I learned in 2011 both had to do with people and relating to people. And I learned two things that were, both of them just profound in my life, and I'm just so grateful to God. And so when Matt was speaking and he was talking about the verses, read the verses there from Proverbs about seeking counsel, I have to tell you, I think that is a huge, huge word for us all today. And not just in the sense that, I mean, there is the place for professional counseling, but I just having somebody or somebodies that you can talk to, it's so important. And I would say especially for you men, because for whatever reason, men, you know, they keep their cards close, or they, you know. And I'm, you know, it's manly to talk to other men and to open up. And what, you know, I know we have a group of men that meet once a month, but I tell you, I don't think that's enough. I'm not saying come to the men's meeting. I'm saying on purpose, get together with another man. You know, you can go to Waffle House instead of Starbucks if that seems more manly, but have coffee, do something and just sit and talk to a man, and don't just talk about, you know, that hallway talk. How's the weather? How's your job? But the real things that are going on in your lives. Sin hides in the darkness. And I tell you what, the devil also, he will discourage you and discourage you. He shoots those fiery darts into your thinking. And if you don't ever articulate them and let somebody question them, he'll just have his way with you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but something that's just really been bothering you and just harassing you, and you tell it to another person, and even while you're saying it, you realize this is so ridiculous. I've certainly had that in my life. I mean, something that was really bothering me, and I said it to Matt. Matt's like, why would you even be thinking that? There's just no reality in that whatsoever. And it's just so helpful to have people in your life like that. So I just encourage you, whether you, an individual or as a couple or as a family, to on purpose seek out intimate relationships, relationships where you can you feel safe and can reveal yourself. It's critical. And that's what, you know, I think of what Hebrews 10:25 says. It says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That doesn't just mean come into church. It says in these times, don't forsake it. It's critical to you that we need to be stirred up for good works. That's not just about, it is including good coming to church. But I tell you, coming in the door, getting here, you know, at 11:14, singing, doing the offering, hearing a message, and then running out the door as soon as the amen is. That's not, you're getting very little of the fellowship there. And then you don't see anybody or have any fellowship with any other Christians and people that can speak godly wisdom to you all week. You're really missing out on what God has for you. Because one of the best things he's given us is each other. We are a family. We are a body. And how can one part say to the other part, I don't need you? But yet we do that all the time when we neglect our time together. So I just wanted to encourage you and admonish you with that today. We sure appreciate you guys. We're thankful for you and we love you. That's when the year changed over, I thought, I'm so thankful for the people of Good News Church. You're wonderful people and I'm thrilled you're in my life. We're thrilled.